And so we're going to be talking about some things in detail in relation to the budget next week, so please be here for that. And then the following week after that, we're going to be voting on our 2018 budget. Okay? All right. Well, you know, just recently, the BBC had this headline story on the news, and the headline asked the question this, why are Americans so angry? Why are Americans so angry? And you know, for the last probably 3 or 4 weeks, I've been just praying about a new message series, and I've titled this message series, Love in a Hostile World. We kind of live in a hostile world, don't we, right now? I remember a few weeks ago, I posted on Facebook, and I was just trying to encourage people, look, live in your own reality, because the things that you see on the news, are you actually seeing a lot of that in your neighborhood? Not really, right? A lot of times, you know, our own reality is the best reality to live in, right? Just going to the store and interacting with people of different races and of different backgrounds and just enjoying the differences of people. I see that in our everyday reality, but the news tells a different story. And so I wanted to talk to you today about this issue. This is just going to be one of four messages dealing with God's kind of love in a hostile world. You know, God has called us to love. That's his greatest commandment, love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. And so we know it's very important to him. And we're going to be in the book of Matthew today, Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 38. But you know, if there's anything that I have learned about life, it's when you see a problem or some kind of tension or some kind of difficulty rising, the problem is not really what you see. What you see typically is the symptom of the problem. So in fact, sometimes the most unproductive thing that we could possibly do is to focus on the symptom and focused on the symptoms of the problem than to deal with the root issue. And this is one of the things I love about Jesus and I love about the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus comes and he shares this message. And this message is all about dealing with the root problems. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to turn to the Lord, and we're going to start to seek him and look to him for healing for our nation. And you know, the healing really starts with us. It starts in our homes, and it starts in our neighborhoods. It starts in how we teach our children, how we raise them up. They call this younger generation, the entitlement generation. I don't believe that. It's only if we teach that to them. And only if we spoil them so much that they lose a work ethic. But look, they're under our roofs, and we teach this next generation, and it's our responsibility to be pouring into them and living out our faith in a real and true way right in front of them. So we find ourselves in the midst of this of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. And the theme of this message that Jesus is giving, if I were to pick a theme and see something that was really brought out in what he shares in the Sermon on the Mount, it's true righteousness. True righteousness. He's explaining what true righteousness looks like. And the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, had an artificial, external righteousness that was based on the law. And so they had a false idea and an understanding of what righteousness was. And so they were teaching the people their form of righteousness, sort of a self-righteousness. But the righteousness Jesus is referring to here is a righteousness that begins internally. It's a righteousness that begins in the heart of man. And most of what he talks about here is how his righteousness is a heart issue. And it begins on the inside of us. And give you a couple of examples. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, he says this. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the men of old, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment." So he deals with anger. He says, you heard what the law of old said, do not kill, do not murder. But I say, watch your anger. Here's another one. You have heard, he says in verse 27, that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So another heart issue, dealing with lust. And so Jesus didn't come to deal with these external symptomatic things. He came to deal with man's heart. And if we're going to be the solution to the hostility that we see all around us, we have to get serious about our hearts. Amen? We have to get serious about God's word and serious about what God says is the condition of man's hearts. And the dangers, you know, the heart is deceptive. It's desperately wicked, Scripture tells us. And so we have to be careful. You know, we got to be careful of people who try to tell us, you know, just follow your heart, because look, our hearts are deceptive. And if our hearts are not in tune and if we're not abiding in Christ, it's so easy for our hearts to go astray. And so that's what Jesus is dealing with. And so we find ourselves in verse 38. And if you'll read with me, you'll see it up here on the screen, starting in verse 38, and we're going to continue to verse 42. He says this, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." So Jesus here at the beginning of this, he mentions this Old Testament law. And he's still in sort of that line of thinking where he's saying, you've heard it said, but I tell you. And here he is in it again. You've heard it said. You heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now we find this in the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, the books of the law. It's found in Exodus 21, 24, Leviticus 24, 20, and Deuteronomy 19, 21. He's referring back to the law of Moses, and he's letting them know this law has been misunderstood. And even today, I mean, I've seen politicians use this one, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And how we have used it, well, they were misusing it during this particular period of time as well. The purpose of this law was to make sure the punishment matched the crime, right? That was the purpose of this law. This was the purpose of instituting this law. So it was mainly to prevent excessive punishment. Excessive punishment. It was based on personal revenge. So if my neighbor and I got into a little scuffle, fisticuffs, you know, and we're in this little scuffle, and he blackens my eye, and then I go over there with a gun and I shoot all of his cows and I burn his house down. Is that equal justice? Somebody says, yes, it's equal justice back in the back. This message is for you, let me tell you. So the law was really set in place to deal with the problem of vengeance. Okay? Now I want you to keep in mind, sometimes all we want to do is deal with the symptoms of things, and what we really need to do is look behind what is going on. And so when we see these issues in our world today, all the hostility, we need to look behind what is really happening here. And Jesus is trying to give them a glimpse of what's really behind this. And so he says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And he's dealing with this misunderstanding of that law. It was intended to set a ceiling on the level of punishment. It was a very just law. Okay? But here's what was happening, is people were using it in everyday circumstances. And you can imagine this. Imagine it being used in the home. Imagine it being used with your neighbor, and you're just constantly using the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and never extending grace and never extending mercy. It was always tit for tat. Is that a good thing? No. And look, this law was set in place as a civil law in the Old Testament, and it was helpful in dealing with disputes. And you know, you probably remember Moses had all these people coming to him to deal with all of these issues and disputes and things. His father-in-law helped him to correct some of that. So he would just refer back to this law when a dispute is brought, and he says, we will make it even, this for that. You stole this, you get that from him. But people were taking this to the extreme, and keep in mind that previously there had not been any limits to revenge before this law was instituted. That's how important this law was. So revenge was out of hand. This law was instituted, and then years go by, thousands of years go by up to Jesus's day, and here are all these Pharisees and these scribes, and their traditions have changed this law, and they were using it unjustly. So Jesus says this. He says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. See, this is an issue of the heart. Here, Jesus is dealing with a heart problem. He's dealing with revenge. He's dealing with retaliation. I love what Warren Wiersbe says. He says this, human vengeance is never satisfied with justice. It wants a pound of flesh for an ounce of offense. Did you catch that? I'm going to read it again, just so you could take it in. Human vengeance is never satisfied with justice. It wants a pound of flesh for an ounce of offense. And you see, when we are a people who want justice, right? But when justice gets out of hand is when we move it into the realm of revenge and retaliation. And it's a heart issue. And here is Jesus dealing with this heart issue. And you'll see in Scripture, God restricts vengeance to himself. He says, vengeance is mine. It's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. He says, repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Make that your highest priority. Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So it's Paul taking that Old Testament verse and using it. Let me ask you something. Do you feel a sense of vengeance when you're insulted or when you're attacked? Do you feel that sense of vengeance that you have to get back at that person? Maybe driving down the road. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Somebody cuts you off in Benbrook traffic down there in that mess. Someone cuts you off, and you get a little stirred up, and you're just ready to retaliate. Anybody want to just admit that they've done that a few times, a couple people? Brendan, you shouldn't even be driving a car, buddy. Then Jesus goes on, he says, do not resist one who is evil. He's again dealing with the heart. And have you noticed when we resist an evil person or an evil offense, it only escalates our anger? And so here's this person, and they're offending us, they're insulting us. And have you noticed when we're being offended and we're being assaulted, when we let it get out of hand, it only escalates our anger and moves us into retaliation and revenge? It takes our heart, listen to this, it takes our heart to a place that Jesus does not want our heart to go. And he's making this crystal clear to us. It is moving our heart out of the place of kingdom living and into the place of the world. And it's moving our heart attitude out of kingdom life into worldliness. And the world's way of handling and doing things, it doesn't work. And the world always tries to pull you along with it. And the attitudes and the lifestyles of the world, there's always this pressure to pull you and suck you in. But you have to resist it. Because look, if you are a follower of Christ in here today, you represent the kingdom of God. You are Jesus Christ's representatives on earth. You are his hands and feet on this earth. And when you walk this earth, people look to you, church. They look to you, godly man and godly woman, to represent Jesus and how you represent him. When they find out you're a Christian, it's either going to glorify, they'll either look at you and they will see your good works and they will glorify our Father in heaven, or they will look at you and they will see that your works are not matching the life that God has called you to, and they'll say they're just hypocrites. They're all the same. And what our world needs now is to, even though this goes against, and look, I mean, can you imagine someone smacks you in the face? Imagine this, all right? Turning to them the other cheek. Just imagine that. But look, Jesus is saying, if you do it my way, if you just do it my way, you will represent me well. Look what he says. Do not resist one who is evil. Do not resist the evil one. This was Jesus forbidding retaliation, as the religious leaders were suggesting. He's talking about personal resentment and spite and vengeance. Do you ever feel that way? Maybe when you see injustice or feel mistreated, you want to sort of lash out. And we have to be careful of this. You know, the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, talks about a bitter root springing up and causing problems. Don't let a bitter root, don't let this bitterness spring up and cause problems in your life. You know, when Abraham Lincoln was a young attorney, he was approached by a man who admittedly insisted, or adamantly insisted, on bringing a lawsuit for $2.50. Probably a lot of money back then. Maybe it was like $50 back then. So he insisted on bringing a lawsuit for $2.50 against an impoverished debtor. And Lincoln tried to discourage him, but the man just kept on insisting, and he was just so consumed with revenge. So when Lincoln saw that the man was not going to budge, he agreed to take the case, and he asked for a legal fee up front of $10. So Lincoln then takes the $10 and meets with the defendant. He offers $5, this is a true story, he offers $5 to the defendant if he would take $2.50 of the five back to the creditor and admit his wrong. Well, the defendant happily confessed to the creditor and paid the $2.50, and in one day the lawsuit was settled. But even more amazing than Lincoln's ingenious settlement was the fact that the irate plaintiff was satisfied with everything. Isn't that crazy? Vengeance was just eating him up, and he wanted payback. And in one day, Lincoln settles that case. But if anyone, he says, Jesus continues, and he says, do not resist one who is evil. He goes on and he says, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. And again, I know what you're thinking. That sounds so weak, doesn't it? That sounds so weak. But it is as strong as a man who admits his wrongs. And it's as strong as a woman who submits to her husband. And it's just this unique strength that the Bible talks about. It's this Christ-like strength that doesn't come from yourself, because your flesh wants to cry out and lash out and seek vengeance. But it's this unique strength that comes from a closeness with God. And so here's Jesus, and he's telling them, turn your other cheek. And this was especially shocking probably to the people of his day, because this was considered very, very offensive to strike someone in the face. It was a social offense, very demeaning during this period of time. In fact, they say that a slave would rather be whipped on the back by his master during these days than slapped in the face by his master. And so Jesus is saying, take that offense that is so offensive to you and so offensive to your heart, instead of taking it to a level of anger and vengeance, take it to a level where you just turn to him the other cheek. That doesn't seem possible, does it? Some of the guys in here are just like, I am not going to do that. But remember what Jesus is doing here in the Sermon on the Mount, as he's dealing with the heart, and he's trying to teach them how to live in true righteousness. In true righteousness. And the only way to live in true righteousness is not what the religious leaders of that time were doing, where they tried to wear everything on the outside, and it says, but they were just dead on the inside. Where they were trying to, they were living hypocritically. But Jesus says, let's deal with the heart. He's saying, when we are maligned, when we are insulted, when we are treated with contempt, when we're struck on our cheek, both literally and figuratively, we turn to them the other cheek. Wayne Grudem, he says this, turning the other cheek symbolizes the non-avenging, non-retaliatory, humble and gentle spirit that is characterized by kingdom citizens. Isn't that good? Characterized by kingdom citizens. So if you want to be a part of the solution and not the problem in our world today, you must take God at his word. We are called to live as kingdom citizens. We may not want to when it comes to situations like this. We may not feel like it. We may want to lash out and react like the rest of the world. But this is what makes us different, y'all. This is the kind of love that runs deep, where we just honor him and we keep it, we hold to his word. And we live, even though difficult, we just trust him that he knows what's best. And he knows the best way to handle a situation. And look, I'm not talking about living and being a doormat, okay? And I'm not talking about allowing someone to drag you through the mud. And I'm not even talking really, and I don't believe he is either. I'm not talking about not defending yourself or defending your family. If someone is attacking and continuing to attack you, you need to be able to defend yourself, right? This is deeper than that. This is talking about the heart. This is talking about being having the humility to not allow your heart to get to a place of vengeance and retaliation. Jesus, again, he's getting them to examine their heart. And this is the fifth time of six times in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus took traditional interpretations of the law, and he says, you've heard it said. And then he gives this radical reinterpretation to his followers. He says, but I say to you, you've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, but I say to you, turn the other cheek. 1 Peter 2:20 says this, 2:20 through 23. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That is powerful stuff. He continued to entrust himself to him who judges justly. Jesus goes on in verse 40 and he says, and if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, a tunic is your inner garment in those days, and your cloak is your outer garment. And they wouldn't imagine taking a man's cloak because he needed covering, but they would take his tunic. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. And as I read about this, it was not uncommon for the Roman soldiers to go up to a Hebrew and say, look, I want you to carry my burden or carry my load, and have them carry their load for them. And so quite possibly, this is what this is referring to, when someone comes up to you and offends you and says, look, you need to carry my load. Don't just carry the load for them, but go an extra mile for them to serve them. Isn't that something? Go an extra mile to serve them. And he goes on in verse 42, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. In other words, be kind, be generous. When someone unjustly cheats you out of your property or forces you to go a mile, go an extra mile for them. That is hard to believe, isn't it? It just runs in the face of our culture. And you know, as I wrap this up today, this is just kind of setting the tone for what we're going to be talking about. It's just this kind of radical living for Jesus, where we no longer operate and function with our feelings and our flesh, but we operate and function based on the truth that he has provided us to live by. And we don't do it in our own strength. This is the good news. Because we can't. You know, the Christian life is not a difficult life. It is an impossible life to live. You cannot live it in your own strength. You need his strength. That's why it says when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, he empowers you with his Holy Spirit. And so I want you to picture this, and this sort of sums up today's message. Jesus is on trial, and he is falsely accused. And the crowd, the week before, the crowd was saying, you know, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. They were celebrating him. No more than a few days later, that same crowd has angry fists, and they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. And the religious leaders who were so offended by him were saying, crucify him, crucify him. And so they tortured him, and they drug him to an execution spot. They put him on a cross. They nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. And as the people chanted, crucify him, that's exactly what they did. And what led Jesus up to that cross was these false accusations of man, right? A heart of vengeance among the religious leaders and the people. They wanted him to be dealt with. They were angry. And as Jesus was nailed to that cross, in Luke 23:34, as he hung beaten on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And it's because when we look at Jesus' response to anger, hatred, and hostility, it runs in the face of the American way, doesn't it? It runs in the face of the American way. His way of handling anger, hatred, and hostility is love. It is love, and it's grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for providing truth for us to live by, Lord, in such a confusing world. And we do pray for our nation right now, Lord. I pray right now, Father, for the racial tensions in our country, Lord, that you will settle those. I pray, Father, for the hostility that we see against the president and the White House, against the laws that are being passed in the country, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the anger that we see building and the hatred and the vengeance. And Father, I pray for God's people to rise up and live like Jesus. I pray for God's people to go into their neighborhoods and love their neighbors as themselves. I pray for God's people to be a shining light on a hill. We so desperately need that now, Lord. I pray for God's people to be a representation of God's love in this hostile world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's all stand.